brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I was just smiling as I looked at the opening prayer for today's Mass because it ties in. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, but it ties in so much to what I was speaking about yesterday, about putting the Lord center, taking yourself out of the center so that the glory belongs to Him. That you come to Him in your need, and when He meets your need, you give Him the glory. And then I looked at the opening prayer for today's Mass, and this is what it says. O God, who showed the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor. Those who are accounted Christian, first of all, do you stand ready to be counted as a Christian? And then secondly, the grace to reject what is contrary to the name of Christ. You take yourself out of first place, permanently out of first place, and strive after all that does His name honor. It's very simple, and it's extremely difficult to live. Please don't try to do this on your own willpower. Don't. Because we are sinful creatures, and innately there's just something very selfish in us. We're glad to be generous if everything of ours is taken care of. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is asking us just to give everything to Him. Everything. And to follow His plan day in and day out, and come to know Him intimately as His disciple, as His servant, as His son, His daughter. And believe me, that joy, as I've said to you before, that joy of walking with Christ, that joy will not be overcome by evil. Let's take a look at the first reading for today from the prophet Isaiah, Chapter 26, verses 7 to 9, then verse 12, and then 16 to 19. The way of the just is smooth, the path of the just you make level. Yes, for your way and your judgments, O Lord, we look to you. Can you pray that? Your name and your title are the desire of our souls. My soul yearns for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me keeps vigil for you. When your judgment dawns upon the earth, the world's inhabitants learn justice. O Lord, you mete out peace to us, for it is you who have accomplished all we have done. He's the source, brothers and sisters, not us. He's the source. He'll work through your personality as He's created you. He'll work through your strengths and weaknesses. But He's the source of our life. I'm not my own source. And I need to begin to reorient sometimes myself to begin to see clearly who I am and who God is. And let Him assume His rightful place. Your name and your title are the desire of our souls. My soul yearns for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me keeps vigil for you. When your judgment dawns upon the earth, the world's inhabitants learn justice. O Lord, you mete out peace to us, for it is you who have accomplished all we have done. O Lord, oppressed by your punishment, we cried out in anguish under your chastising. As a woman about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pains, so were we in your presence, O Lord. We conceived and writhed in pain, giving birth to wind. In other words, we accomplished nothing on our own. Salvation we have not achieved for the earth. The inhabitants of the world cannot bring it forth. But your dead shall live. Their corpses shall rise. Awake and sing, you who lie in the dust. For your dew is a dew of light, and the land of shades gives birth. New life comes out of death. Death to self is one expression of that. Death to my own way of doing things. death to my way of being recognized, wanting to be recognized, wanting to receive credit, wanting to be acknowledged. Just it, the feelings won't go for a while, but you just keep saying, Lord, Lord, I want you to have all the honor and glory for what I've done today. I want you to be known. I want you to be loved. I want you to be recognized in any way you want that recognition to come through me. Do it, O Lord. Psalm 102, from heaven the Lord looks down on the earth. He does. He looks down. He sees us clearly. You, O Lord, abide forever. Your name through all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for it is time to pity her. When we turn and we say, Lord, we're failing. We're making ourselves little gods. Money, sex, power, whatever. We want to dominate. We want to control. Lord, have pity. Have mercy on Zion. It is time to pity her. For her stones are dear to your servants. Her dust moves them to pity. The nation shall revere your name, O Lord. All the kings of the earth, your glory. That's what we want, Lord. We made a mess of some things, but we decide today we want you to be Lord of our lives. When the Lord has rebuilt Zion and appeared in his glory, when he has regarded the prayer of the destitute and not despised their prayer, let this be written for the generations to come. Let his future creatures praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his holy height. From heaven he beheld the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to release those doomed to die. We're in many ways prisoners, aren't we? We get captured by the world's values, and they so touch us in a way that we're just captivated. We're taken. We're prisoners of this world in some ways. And the Lord wants to release us from that and to give us the freedom of bowing down before him and following him, which even we bow down humbly, but it's in order that God may raise us up truly. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." In other words, take a look at what God's asked of us. That's the yoke. What are the commandments? What has God asked of us? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. The yoke the world puts upon you becomes more and more a prison cell. You think it's going to set you free, but the opposite is honestly true. But when we, in a sense, give God the right to imprison us, we will be set free. We will be set free. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Merica Kies, who I have often quoted from in the past, has an excerpt in Magnificat magazine. I want to read a portion of it to you. Coming to Jesus is the condition for finding relief. All we need to do is choose to enter the sphere of his presence, and the unnatural pressures borne down upon us by both the world and ourselves begin to dissipate. He's right. To the extent that we are far from Jesus, we are the source of our own greatest burdens. Without him as Lord, we are enthralled to the tyranny of our passions and therefore susceptible to the world's manipulation and the influence of the evil one. Without the all-consuming love of Jesus burning in our heart as pure, transforming power, the passions roam the landscape of our souls like ravenous orphans. Then, as the pseudo-Macarius states, we are like a man invited to the banquet of life where countless fine dishes are set before us. But lacking the taste for the one delight that alone matters, we feel we have to sate ourselves from every dish. And in this manner, the self-indulgent soul becomes weighed down. For to live subject to the passions is to bear the weight of heavy mountains. This is what Sudha Macharya said. The self-indulgent soul becomes weighed down, for to live subject to the passions is to bear the weight of heavy mountains. What you think will set you free, if it's the world's agenda, it will not. It'll appear to, people will tell you it does. Look at the suicide rate in our country right now with some famous people. Follow the values of the world. We can become seriously depressed. Jesus, whose name means Savior, is by definition the source of relief from all oppression, whether self-generated or imposed on us from without. The toil of living, abstracted from the compassionate power of God, only bears the fruit of dejection and despair. Merkaki says it so well. As long as man is trying to impress God with his own heroics, how about that? As long as man is trying to impress God with his own heroics, the heavens will remain shut. When will we understand that God wants nothing at all from us, not even virtue? In a Christian sense, the opposite of vice is not virtue in its usual meaning of a self-developed and admirable personal attribute. The opposite of vice in the Christian soul is not virtue, but the power of Christ living within us. When we decrease, he increases. When we try to grow in virtue, and it's worth, really do try to grow in virtue, but that's only a means to a greater end, deeper union with God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Acknowledge your weaknesses. Start with one at a time. Ask him for help. But what you're not aspiring to, Mary Cuckies makes it very, very clear, what you don't want to be aspiring to is being a virtuous person. You want to be in a place where Christ lives within you, and that he lives more and more within you, because the virtue you practice helps you to decrease, helps him to have a greater, deeper, richer place in your life. The opposite of vice in the Christian soul, says Merikakis, is not virtue, but the power of Christ living within us. That's your goal. That's your goal. Not just the acquiring of a certain virtue. Your goal is that Christ Jesus live more and more within you. That's what we're about. That's why I'm on this earth. That I might reflect him more and more. There's lots of things in this world I can enjoy in good conscience, but the goal is that I become more like him and live with him forever. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.